Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm going to hell tonight, and so are you. Eerie. Very ominous. Thank you to Rock and Roll Toast for that catchphrase submission. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang Indeed. This is an incredible show we have today. My name is Scott Aukerman. I'm the host of Comedy Bang Bang. And usually we have a panoply of guests of all sorts of different stripes. I don't know whether I'm using the word panoply correctly. It just popped in my brain and I went for it. I don't think I've ever said it out loud before. But I'm sure that if I did not use it correctly, this week's corrections will come in a mere hour after the episode is released. I always love getting all of the week's corrections from you wonderful listeners. Let us know what we said wrong every single week. Coming up a little later on the show, we have a folk singer. Oh, very exciting. I love musicians. We've had some of the great musicians on this show. Dan Mangan, of course. The rest. We also have a critic coming up a little later. We'll see who or what they criticize. Before that, we have returning to the show. It's been, I didn't look up exactly when your last episode was, but I'm guessing around 7 years or so ago. I'm going to do it mere moments after I introduce you. He's a stand-up comedian. He has a new special out called Live from the Universe, which people can see on the Dry Bar Comedy app, and a book as well. He's also an author with the book Heart, Brain, Art Train coming out. Please welcome back to the show, Mike Kaplan. Hello, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me back. Whenever it was, I hope that you don't get a panoply of corrections an hour later.
Very good.
Always love being here. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, you were on a mere 3 years ago.
That's, I think it was pandemic.
Pandemic, yes, yes. It's all awash to me in the pandemic.
Yeah, we were in different places. It
That's
wasn't.
Right. I don't
it
count that as a real thing.
Does not count.
But yes. Before then, 2011.
That's
quite a stretch in between.
Absolutely.
As my yoga teacher once said to me. Mike, wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
He said to me that it was quite a stretch in between your appearances on this show.
Well,
I don't know why he's so interested in you.
Your yoga teacher is a fan of mine.
That he is. A fan of teaching me yoga. He's sitting here talking about my stupid podcast. Mike, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Thank you. Same.
That it's great for me to see you? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think it wasn't what I was trying to say, but it is what I understand I accomplished saying. Sometimes
it's not about your intent.
No,
it's about what actually happened. Okay, Mike?
Absolutely, yes.
Your laugh sounds fake. Has anyone ever told you that?
All the time. Well, I mean,
at least that laugh did.
Yeah, it wasn't. I think it was. I'm not trying. I mean,
was it fake?
I don't think it was.
I think it might have been fake.
I think it wasn't totally fake.
Okay, but it was a mixture of fake to real.
I mean, I think
it was like a half calf laugh.
Think a half calf laugh.
There it is again. There it is again. Oh my God, you're still doing it.
I think this is my real laugh.
I don't know.
I'm really sorry to say. I think that. Maybe it's this. I have recently undiagnosed asthma. My voice teacher. I took voice lessons in college.
Me.
Yes. No, me.
Right. You.
Thank you. I took voice lessons, and my voice teacher, Pam, a very nice lady, who we're still friends on Facebook.
I don't know that you want your voice teacher to be named Pam.
I didn't have a choice.
You know what I mean? It's a cooking spray.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
My voice teacher was the cooking spray, oh, Pam, really? A nice lady.
The original model.
Cooking spray.
The
yes.
One thing about the, just like the Land O'Lakes butter woman. Oh, she's so hot. Pam on that Pam spray. So beautiful.
Yeah, this Pam, I mean, I think she's a nice looking lady, mm-hmm. but I'm not.
Weird to say that about your voice coach.
Well, you were just saying, you started it.
I don't know her.
But you just a second ago, I feel like if we play back
I would
the
hate
tape,
to be your voice coach and sit there going, is he judging my appearance the entire time?
I definitely wasn't. I haven't thought, this is the first time I've ever mentioned my voice teacher's appearance.
When I'm taking voice, I like to look between the eyes and the mouth. We got eyes, nose, mouth.
Right.
Those
the
are
nose.
The only, and maybe the ears. If I'm you're doing it again.
This okay. So I please
now
don't.
Now that is a fake laugh. That's a realistic sounding fake laugh. What I just did.
I'm not an actor. So I'm here as myself with my real laugh and just every once in a while. So this voice teacher, Pam, I'm sorry that's her name, but it is. Pamela, does that help you? Does it make it better? Does it change it at all? She told me when I was doing some, you know, breathing exercises, she was like, oh, it seems like you might have like activity-induced asthma. And so I've
what
handled
does
that.
Mean? What exactly is that?
Like if you're, you know, you engage in some extensive physical activity.
And what were you doing that was extensive?
Singing. I was singing.
But you came to her to learn how.
Yes, that's correct.
So she gets you sick, diagnoses you, yeah. And then what?
Then you
sue her, right?
I don't engage in the activity for many years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just don't sing that.
But the
actively.
Asthma remains.
Every once in a while, I have
this is a bad teacher.
It comes up every once in a while.
What's her last name?
Do you want it?
No.
I think she's good. I think she's probably retired now as well.
How is your singing voice? So then, have you used it?
I did actually get into comedy via singing.
Tell me this story. I don't know this about you.
Wow. I'm happy. I'll do an abridged version. I'll do the verse, the
I don't
chorus,
want it to be
and then
real
abridged.
Time like yeah. Jack Bauer. Jesus Christ. There it is again. This is unnerving.
Have I never laughed on this show before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you've gotten funnier.
Hey.
I appreciate it.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I've always had a good time.
I think I peaked in 2011.
If we could get a panoply of responses, like a super cut of my laugh previously on the show.
I would like that. Yeah, I would like a fan to do that.
2011, 2020.
Put aside the corrections for a while and give me a supercut of Mike's laugh.
Yes. So what is? Oh yeah. So here's how comedy happened.
I worry that
yes.
when you raised your hands, you hit your fingers on the table.
I did do that. Yes.
Are your fingers all right?
Yes. My two of them hurt a little bit, but I'm fine now.
Which two?
The pointer and middle finger on my left hand.
We need better names for these.
Pointer
fingers.
And middle.
Pointer. I get.
Yeah.
It's like you. Not a lot of people are pointing with the other one.
That's
so it's
true.
Like that narrows it down.
Do you like ring finger? I mean, that's just a historical, societal thing.
It's, I know.
It has nothing to do with the finger. You can put rings on any finger as well.
I know.
Well.
I don't like to play by society's rules. So, no, I don't like
it. Do you like pinky?
Pinky's pretty good. Pinky's the star of the show, as far as I'm concerned.
Also, every finger is the same color, so pinky really is not...
That's a good point.
It doesn't
Plus,
differentiate.
Plus, it's kind of racial.
Yeah, absolutely. People who do not have pink skin also...
Okay, we're good. We're doing away with it.
No more.
Even though it's the most well-known finger, we're getting
how
away.
How about just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Okay, but what's one?
Thumb.
Thumb is one?
Thumb 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, there we go.
Thumb 2, 3, 4, 5.
Do you know? Actually, thumb, nose, 3, 4, 5.
Now, thumb, nose, 3, 4, 5.
A long time ago, we substituted 2 for nose. So
oh,
we have to keep that going.
I didn't know. Also, I do think I remember maybe the very first time I was on the show, or perhaps it was 2011, if that was not the first time.
That's the only other time.
I think the episode, was the episode called Thumbs Yes?
It is indeed called Thumbs Yes.
Mike Kaplan, all thumbs, referring to these episodes only.
We should call this one Thumbs No.
Yeah.
Thumb No. 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. Is it no with N-O or just K-N-O-W?
It's N-O. It's okay. N-O. Yeah. So this is the sequel to Thumbs Yes.
Thumb
it's
No.
Thumb No, 3, 4, 5. God,
I love
doing
it.
It again.
Okay. I'll really try. I mean, I'll do my best.
Now, see, this is bad, though. I feel bad because I was always told one thing that you should never tell a person is you have an ugly smile. because then it makes them never want to smile again. I'm not saying that about you. You have a beautiful smile.
Thank you very
much.
Very
good looking man.
Same.
And then also, I hate your laugh. Those are the two things you should never, because then it saps all joy from people. You know what I mean? They get too in their head about that. So I don't, I rescind it. Your laugh sounds genuine.
Thank you very much. I'm out of my head about it.
Okay, great.
So there I was, 4 years old in New Jersey, learning how to play the violin per my parents' requirements.
That seems young.
Yeah, that's the age you often start the violin.
Aren't you like sticking your like bow right in your eye?
You know, I didn't start with a real violin and bow. I think I did have a real bow.
A drawing of them?
Some people use like a wooden stick just to learn how to hold it.
That seems even more dangerous.
That's fair.
A sharp wooden stick?
But instead of the violin, we did have a ruler for the neck, and it was taped to a box of frozen food empty.
This sounds... Who are these teachers that you're getting with? They all sound like quacks.
I'll give you the first name of all the teachers. The first teacher I had was Sally, and then Margot, and then Catherine.
Was it Sally Ride?
That's not correct. No. Okay. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
We learned on a spaceship.
Spaceship?
Yeah. Is that the right term? I'm not a space scientist. Is that the right term?
Maybe.
Oh, but... yeah. Look, it's not surgery science.
You might have like transferred to a spaceship in the middle of the universe. I have no idea.
I don't know what doesn't qualify. Is a rocket ship not a spaceship?
That is a good question. I don't know. I think it's definitely in the spaceship family, but a spaceship to me implies that it's from another planet, doesn't it? I don't know. We have spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, but a spaceship implies that it's from somewhere else, I think.
Well, so then to other planets, our rockets are spaceships.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, so I think
so. You were going from the perspective of an ET.
Most people, I think, aren't from this planet. So I try to think on their behalf. You know, there's 8 billion here, but many more elsewhere.
Exactly.
So
4 years old, you're just sawing away on this vegetable box.
That, and then they did give me a real violin, and it sounded awful, and it felt awful, and I didn't enjoy it. Yeah, I took lessons. It was emotionally. It didn't feel.
Okay. Yeah, you're not sticking it up your ass.
Physically, no, I was not. I wasn't in the movie American Pie, the gender swapped version. it was a flute, but you know,
the gender and instrument swapped version.
Exactly.
I think this would be popular. American Pie, the gender and musical instrument swapped version.
Yeah, not a flute, but a bow. So yeah, I played violin and didn't enjoy it, but in high school I had started playing the guitar. I taught myself guitar very easily.
Now here I am trying to decide whether you could have cut the whole violin portion of this story. But go ahead.
Too late. So I didn't like the violin. I loved the guitar. I started teaching myself music by my mom's piano books. I was like, oh, I can put my fingers here. Mm-hmm. I love doing it.
Now I'm really deciding how much of this story is really necessary.
Fair enough.
Every sentence you're saying right now, I'm judging it.
Okay. Here it comes.
Okay. We haven't gotten to the inciting incident yet.
I started writing songs, and some of them were funny. Then.
Oh, okay.
Then I went, I searched pre-Google comedy.
How did you search pre-Google? Did you go town to town?
I think there were.
Word of mouth?
I think there were other non-Google.
Have you heard tell of? Okay.
The local.
There it is again, but I don't want to say anything.
Do you want me to just say that's funny? Because that's what I do sometimes, but that usually means it's less funny.
That's a good point.
Scott, that was a good joke. So I'll do my best. I wrote funny songs, or some of them that were supposed to be funny. And I went on to Hotbot, I believe.
What is Hotbot?
It was a search engine before Google.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
And I think Yahoo was around pre-Google as well. So I think...
Ask Jeeves?
I did ask
Whatever
Jeeves
happened
as well.
To Jeeves? Speaking of wonderful mascots that were sexy as hell.
How's that one?
I didn't like it. I liked it even worse.
Yeah, I cut it off. That's why.
Laugh naturally. I'm sorry to get in your head.
Can't do it. So I went to the comedy studio.
What were you searching for? Has anyone ever been funny on music before?
No. I was searching for places to just play my music legitimately. Okay. So I was searching for like clubs. I think I searched club. And one of the clubs that popped up, like a lot of music venues, but then one comedy club, the Comedy Studio in Boston.
Interesting. So you already had these songs that were kind of funny.
Some, yes.
Did you pitch yourself to them of like, oh, I do songs that are funny?
I did. I said I play music, but I have several songs that are funny, and they said that they could give me 5 to 7 minutes.
Wow. Were they? I mean, I've always heard that it's tough to get stage time at places. Was it the unique nature, unique New York, unique New York. Nature of your act, or were they just giving stage time to everybody?
I think they had just recently become a comedy club.
And from like, what?
From nothing. From a Chinese restaurant, empty room. It was in the third floor of a Chinese restaurant that had like a dance club late night on the weekends.
How many floors in these Chinese restaurants?
This one had three.
This one had three?
This was the top.
The very top.
Tip top. Same place that Eugene Merman began.
Is that so?
Yes, Eugene Merman was the, I think, the darling of the comedy studio when I began. And Brendan Small. They were the, they were like two of
two
the
wonderful acts.
Soon to be wonderful stars.
Eugene Merman, one of the titans of comedy.
Absolutely. Is that
officially
a tour?
Yeah. Oh. Well, it's him, Anthony Jeselnik, Nathan Fielder. They're the titans of comedy.
Do they tour?
No, they just came on the show together once. Oh. And I branded them thusly.
Oh, wow. That's real.
That's very real, yes.
You could listen back. There's evidence of this.
The titans of comedy.
You're not making this up now.
No. I'm going to look up what episode that was.
Absolutely. In the meantime, so when I was five... that was a time part of when I didn't like the violin, and I'm just vamping for you, doing things that don't matter. You don't have to listen to.
Yeah, of course. March 7, 2013.
Ah,
10 years ago, we just reached the 10th anniversary of the Titans of Comedy.
Wow, congratulations!
Yeah, incredible.
They should come back on the show if they want to and don't have to.
I would love to get them all together, but it's so hard to get the Titans together. As you can tell,
they're so big. How could they get into such a small space? But yeah, so I called up, and Rick Jenkins, the owner of the comedy studio.
Owner of the comedy studio. That's a funny song.
Yeah.
It's a parody.
Yeah. So the studio is actually reopening later this year. They moved.
Do you think they would use that?
I think they might.
Okay, could you send this to them?
I would be happy to.
How am I going to get you an MP3?
I mean, well, it's...
Do you have Dropbox?
Yeah, I do. We're recording a podcast.
I
could just tell him to listen.
Yeah, to listen. And maybe get a tape recorder and put it next to the whatever he's listening to the podcast on?
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it.
That's probably the way to do it.
He does enjoy when the comedy studio is mentioned in media.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This counts.
This is media.
So why were you talking about that, though?
Oh, because I called him.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And he was the one who I said, can I come play some funny songs at your place? And he said, sure, you can have 5-7 minutes.
I love this impression of this guy. Does he really sound like that?
Kind of like a Kermit the Frog-ish, you know.
Really?
Proprietor. He's like...
You know, he should do Kermit the Frog, because I think whoever's doing it now isn't quite nailing it. You know what I mean?
I think he'd be great.
He'd be great?
Yeah.
We should get him involved.
Jenkins the Frog.
I don't know that we need to change Kermit's name in order to fit the name.
I don't want to lie to the people. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
There are people, they've come to expect a certain level of Kermitness. And so I think it was, they eventually did have an open mic, but at the time they didn't. So he just gave me a spot on a Thursday.
Thursday, right? You remember it was a Thursday?
Absolutely, because they only had Thursday, Friday. I think they had Thursday to Sunday. It might have been a Sunday. It was either a Thursday or a Sunday.
Mm, yeah. I started on a Sunday myself.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There is a program that exists that I could ask Rick later when I send him this.
Meaning people got physical programs?
Physical programs.
Did they have Playbill at the time?
Ha! Yeah,
oh, dear. So that one was fake. Your other one is real.
I mean, it was involuntary. I'm not doing it on purpose.
Okay.
100%.
But it seems like you're a people pleaser.
I mean,
is that a safe assessment of your personality?
I want people to be happy. It's both.
What's your love language?
Thank you for asking. Definitely, I don't know. What are they? Acts of service is one.
Being performed upon you?
Yeah, on behalf of.
Okay. So people going out and doing charity work in your name.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Loving words or words of affection. Mm. I think that's what I like that one.
You like that one?
I like service as well. Gifts. I don't need gifts.
You don't know who needs gifts
are not required. I got enough stuff.
Exactly. We're all trying to throw away most of what we have. You know what I mean?
So here's I think an analogy that if I remember why I'm saying it will be good.
Okay.
Alan Watts, the philosopher.
Yes.
I enjoy.
You said that as a question. Like, do you know who that is? Of course I know who that is.
I guess the question is really, is philosopher the
Hold
word?
On, I got to Google something.
I think philosopher is the word that I would use if you say, like, what is Alan Watts? I mean, like, a thinker, a spiritual speaker, you know?
So let's Jeopardy question this.
Yeah.
He's a thinker and a spiritual thinker.
Who is Alan Watts?
There you go.
Yeah. So I listened to once talk about a Buddhist teacher say when somebody asked the Buddhist teacher,
were you overhearing them? Were you eavesdropping?
I was listening on an app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Alan Watts was dead, long dead.
Point. Yeah. Really? Hey, rest in power, Alan Watts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't know when it happened, but it was before this past year or two.
We hope it was peaceful. We hope it was quick.
Yeah.
We hope his family was gathered around him and wishing him goodbye as he went off into whatever exists outside of this plane of existence.
Yeah, or getting like redistributed within this plane of existence.
That's right. Yeah. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I mean, I'll say this. I don't know if I believe in it, but I think I may have in a past life. That is a joke that I wrote, and I want to be honest with you.
Yeah, I appreciate the transparency.
But here's the true answer to the question, is that I would have said several years ago, no, I do not believe in reincarnation. However, I have recently been learning about Buddhism from a Buddhist friend, a practicing Buddhist friend.
Okay.
And they say they're like rebirths are a part of sort of the...
But is everybody rebirthed? Because the population keeps growing.
Oh, yeah, I believe there's infinite sentient beings. An infinite number. Oh. Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, great. Oh, that makes sense.
It's everybody. And it goes back to beginningless time. So since beginningless time, we have been in every relationship possible to one another. You've been my mother. I've been
so
your mother.
Hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
I think we both made a good choice that went together.
I like where we're at now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like the thought that I was your mother once.
This is a great one. Yeah.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Buddha edition.
How I Was Your Mother. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
100%.
So you were listening to this guy, Mr.
Yes.
Watts,
of course.
An app.
And he was quoting a Buddhist teacher who, when asked, do you believe in God? The answer that the Buddhist teacher gave was, if you do, I don't. And if you don't, I do.
Interesting. That sounds like aborted wedding vows, but what exactly does that mean?
I think it means I relate to it in this way, that I would say that I used, and I sometimes say this on stage, but it is the truth, that I used to identify as an atheist, and now I'm like, why do we have to talk about it? Because I brought it up, fine enough. Like, I think that whenever I hear people, like, I used to be a hardcore atheist, the kind that people, if you're like, if atheists are like that, then I'd rather be religious. I'm like, I was like that, you know?
Like a Bill Maher type.
I was a more Bill Maher-ish
Bill
type.
Bill Maher?
Yeah, I was Bill Maher. I think I might have been more than Bill Maher. By the way, do you know Nick Vatterott, the comedian?
I don't.
Oh, Nick Vatterott, currently actually on Bill Maher's writing staff, but don't hold that against him. He is a fantastic, hilarious comedian who has a joke about one time overhearing at a comedy festival someone saying something like, oh, I'm really into comedy. My friend once saw Bill Maher. And he's like, I don't know if they mean Bill Maher, Bill Burr, or Bill Murray.
Yeah, one of the three.
Yeah.
But we know it's a Bill.
Yeah, 100%. And that she was claiming to be good at comedy. She was claiming to be into comedy because her friend had once seen it.
Oh, no, I like comedy because of that. I love that. Why are we talking about this guy? What does that mean?
So, yes, if you don't, I do. If you do, I don't. It's because in some ways, in sort of a Buddhist paradigm, and I'd say in reality, most things are relational, if not everything is relational. Like, are you a tall person? Depends according to, you know, are you tall? Well, if you are, I'm not. If you're not, I am.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
What if someone's exactly the same height as me?
I don't think that's possible.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm a very unique height.
Yeah. Nobody is the same height as you. That's what they always say.
Right. I believe I'm 5'14".
Yeah. Nobody's that. But yeah, so in Buddhism, the idea of reincarnation when you first start learning about Buddhism, mainly the things are increase happiness, decrease suffering for all sentient beings. That's the main goal.
That's the main thing that they want.
Yeah.
And they're trying to achieve it in their own lives.
Absolutely. Or in the next life, if they believe in that. And they say like, yeah, you don't have to believe in rebirths if you don't want. You can still just do the stuff, be kind, increase happiness, decrease suffering.
Rewind.
Like, yeah, exactly. Do you think that... This is a thing I feel strongly about that doesn't matter at all right now, but be kind, rewind. Wouldn't it have been better if the policy was just after you finish watching it, you can do whatever you want, and then you return it and just rewind it before you watch it? Then everyone rewinds it at least once if you want to be kind additionally.
Yes, I agree. It's the old, guys leaving the toilet seat up conversation. It's like, wait a minute, you're saying that you didn't put it down for me? You know what I mean? Like, why is it the guy's responsibility to put it down when it should be the woman's responsibility after she's done to put it up?
That's fair, though. I also do sit to pee, so I prefer everyone leave it down and covered, because when you flush, then the particles go everywhere. So just, I say everyone leave it down.
Just leave it down.
Yeah.
Leave it down. There is no frown.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's what they always say about
you. Also, you know, these video store people, I realize this isn't the most topical.
I love it.
But what are they doing all day? They can't just sit around rewinding tapes.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's fair.
You
they're,
know?
They're making their favorites list. They're being like, I recommend this one.
And putting it at the, what do they call that at the end of an aisle?
Oh, it's,
you
not
know what
a
I mean?
It's not a kiosk, but it's, you know.
No,
yeah.
No, but I believe there's an actual term for
the
it in
end,
a supermarket.
Ooh, the end thing. It's
yeah,
not
the
that.
The end thing, right.
I think, I know what you're talking about.
Well, Mike, these are fascinating topics to explore.
Oh, yeah, I'm not done yet, but I'm happy to be
uh-oh.
Done. Yeah.
Why? What, how much more?
Oh, no, there's...
Going back to the violin?
Infinite, yeah. infinitely more, but I will say this about reincarnation, about rebirth. The thing that convinced me that my old way of thinking wasn't as right as I thought it was. When I say to my Buddhist friend, like, well, if they don't believe in a soul, they don't, like, Buddhists generally don't believe in a soul. And so I'm like, well, if they don't believe in a soul, then what is it that is reincarnated? And he says, well, what is it that is the same about you today as the same as you yesterday, or the same as when you were a baby? And I'm like, well, you got me. So whatever is the same.
Soul.
Right. No, but they don't have one.
But they don't. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. So when you were a baby and now, whatever this is the same about that is the thing that gets rebirthed.
Right. The soul.
No, but they don't have one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
explain one more time.
Yeah, okay, so when you're a baby,
yeah.
And a baby without a soul.
Right,
of course, you know the language
of
baby.
Yeah, sure.
And now, you were a baby, Scott Aukerman, now you're an adult Scott Aukerman.
Yeah.
The thing that is the
29
same-
29 years old.
Yeah, the thing about that is the same about baby you and now you, that whatever was the same that became you now, that is the same thing that gets rebirthed.
Right. Into got it. The soul.
No,
got it.
Okay.
Understand.
Yes.
All right.
The soul. You got it.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Mike, you have an incredible new comedy special called Live from the Universe.
Thank you. That's where we filmed it.
That's right. Yeah. Not very specific, but I enjoy that.
The planet's moving constantly. It's
that's
hard.
That's true. It's not a fixed point.
It's all relative.
That's why time travel is so hard. Like, you know, you have to calculate the where the Earth is, you know.
You can't.
It's impossible because they know how to do it.
Yeah.
They know how to travel backwards, but everyone just ends up in space.
Yeah. It's no good.
Yeah. It's no good. It's only available on the Drybar Comedy app. This is an app that people can download on their phones, I take it.
That's correct.
And
you can also watch it on your computer.
Oh,
yeah,
that's fun.
It's all places.
Ones, twos, etc.
Exactly.
Okay. Or no, zeros, ones. What is it? Zeros, ones, ones, and twos.
On the ones and twos is a DJ.
That's a DJ
and
thing.
And on the zeros and ones is an electronic DJ.
I see. Man, they should put those together where it's zeros, ones, twos, and then, you know, like computers are out there doing, DJ sets and everything.
Imagine how powerful a computer could be if it had three different options.
That's the thing. Isn't that weird? It's like, come on, guys. Like, we came up with 26 things for English.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And with, Chinese and everything, there's so many different characters we could use. Meanwhile, computers are zeros and ones. Get the fuck out of here.
And another thing that I really feel passionately about, letters combine into words, right?
Right.
And when you put numbers together, then they just make numbers. Why isn't there a word that means a combination of numbers?
I think what you're saying is like we spell out zero, or not zero, but O-N-E, and it makes one.
Yes.
Why can't we put 1, 3, 5 together and it means cat? It means A or it means B.
That's not exactly what I mean.
No, that's what you mean.
Okay.
Speaking of words, you should host Wheel of Fortune.
I'd love to. My grandmother, if I may tell you this, my grandmother who died at 91 a couple years ago.
I was her once.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah. And her mother. She loved the three TV shows that she watched religiously. She was an atheist. She watched these, she worshipped these three shows. Price is Right, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. And I'll tell you this, that if she were alive today, she would, as soon as they announce, when Letterman retired and a week later, Colbert, I think, was announced as his successor. Then a week after that, my grandmother emailed me and said, I hear that Letterman's retiring. You should get his job.
That's wonderful.
So I hope that whenever they announce Pat Sajak's successor, my grandmother then sends me a message in a dream that it should be me.
My mother, when Jon Stewart retired, sent the article to me saying, you should get this job.
Yeah.
And then when Trevor Noah recently retired, didn't send it. That was kind of like, I was kind of like, have you given up on me?
She's like, we're heading in a different direction.
But right now, Price is Right and Jeopardy are taken. Wheel of Fortune's the only one up in the air, so I think you should get it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Also, earlier today, yes, right before I came here,
yes,
I did a half-hour Q&A for a day camp stand-up comedy class of 7 to 12-year-olds.
Wonderful.
And I shared with them a joke about how I won a comedy competition at BU and in 2005. And then one 7-year-old raised his hand during the Q&A and said, I should have won. And I was like, you absolutely should have.
That's funny.
You weren't alive. And yet, yeah.
All right. Well, we need to take a break.
Oh.
Live from the universe is at the Dry Bar Comedy app. And on the other side of this, I'll talk to you about this book that's coming up. But we're going to have more with Mike Kaplan, also a folk singer and a critic. Such a packed show. We're going to be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, what if I just said tough luck and then ended it? No, I actually have the perfect gift and I stand by this one 100%. I've talked about it. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. How many photos do you think you've taken in your life? Four? More? Well, it's unlimited how many photos you can share on this thing. And I believe me, I've tested it out. It is super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And that's what I did. I gave these to all of my loved ones. And we put photos of our new baby into the frame. And they love it. My mom would rather watch the Aura frame than TV. She just sits there like watching the new photos come up. She loves it. I love them. I think it's one of the greatest inventions to ever be invented. Thank goodness whoever did it, I couldn't. Mr. Aura, if you're out there, we love you. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is AURA Frames, AuraFrames.com. Use code BANGBANG at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know what it is. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it is easy to create a beautiful website to engage with your audience all on your terms. And let me tell you something. You do not want to miss Fluid Engine. Oh, Fluid Engine is here, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace. You start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you are ready to launch, of course, go to squarespace.com/bangbang to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals and no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh, gosh. The nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello, hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye! Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Mike Kaplan is here, live from the universe, is his special on the Dry Bar Comedy app. Mike, you also have a book, Heart Brain Art Train. Exactly what is this?
Thank you. A book is...
For what?
You get it. It's jokes that
oh,
I...
Oh, books. Wait a minute. Like the thing that I just wrote that was number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list?
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm glad we did this in the pre-interview. This is how we wanted a segue. Yeah, it is. Ramin Nazer is a comedian and artist, a visual artist friend of mine who 5 years ago, I asked him, do you want to collaborate on a book where you illustrate my jokes? And he said yes. And then he did a couple. And then he had a busy life for 5 years. And this year, he did the rest of them.
He did two more.
Yeah, he did.
It's a 4-page book.
Absolutely. But yeah, it is. It's like, you know, some short, philosophical, weird, just one-line jokes that don't all necessarily go in my act anymore, but I'm like, I think are particularly lend themselves to be illustrated, but I love Ramin's art. He has created many books full of beautiful images and ideas, and I'm happy to be on board with
Wonderful.
Him.
And people can get this in stores, I take it?
Go to my website. You can get it online. What's the website? MikeKaplan.com.
By the way, the mic... is spelled M-Y-Q.
That's right.
Q-U real zoo.
Do you know that? I'm so sorry. There's a friend of mine named Micah Sherman.
Yes, I know Micah Sherman.
I used to, we've been friends for a long time, and we used to do musical comedy together as a duo, and we hosted a show that we called the Micah Mike Club, to the tune of the Mickey Mouse Club. And we wrote a theme song where it went M-I-C-A-H, MYQ Club.
Wonderful. I wish I could go back in time and see it, but unfortunately, the technology would just drop me off in space.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, we need to get to our next guest. He's a musician himself, actually. That's interesting because you started in music.
That's right.
So I think you'll have a lot to talk about.
I agree.
He's a folk singer. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Glenn Plaplinger.
Singing me muse and through me tell the story. Hello, Scott. Hello, Mike. It's
Hello.
So nice to be here.
You sounded Irish when you said that. Well, singing me muse and it just you had a lilt to it.
That is and nice. There is Irish. You know, there's a lot of Irish influence in.
It's interesting.
In
your sentences. You sound Irish at the beginning and then it stops.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm a rambler. I traveled all over but originally I was from a small town. This is a small, quaint town, Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh.
That's where I was born and raised.
Not too small.
No, I've heard of it.
But then as a young child, you know, my father left town. He was a small town choreographer, and he took off for New York City. And, well, I was left on my own with my mother.
So he was a rambler first.
He was a rambler, and that's where I
was
think
he a successful choreographer?
Unfortunately, Scott, he got to the big city of New York, and well, things did not go well for him. This was a long time ago. This was in
This
is in the 30s or 40s, I think.
30s or your father?
1930s?
Yeah. Yes, and I'm advanced in age, Scott.
Yeah, so. This was in the 30s.
Are you doing the math? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100 and something.
Scott, you know, when you sing timeless songs that have timeless themes, you don't even think about your own age.
That's a good point. So you were sort of a contemporary of Woody Guthrie.
Absolutely. Well, Woody Guthrie was a little bit before me, but I hit that Greenwich scene right when a young Robert Zimmerman was there.
It was a long time. 30 years before.
Yeah, I was there.
He started
Scott.
In what, 1960 maybe or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, I was there. I was a young man, but I was there.
You weren't a young man at that point. Because your dad left you in the 30s.
There's really no point in rehashing the history, Scott, because it's all in the music, isn't it?
Oh, that's a good point. So your poor father never got to make it as a choreographer.
Never got to make it. And then, of course, my poor mother, she was there. We had five.
Was
six,
she a dancer? Is that how they met?
She was a dancer. And that's how he did her dance moves, and she did his makeup. Isn't that fun?
That's so fun. So it was like an equitable exchange.
An equitable exchange. And after six beautiful children, six brothers, he took off and now we never saw him.
And was it a makeup-related disaster? Is that how he was killed?
Well, you know, back then they used lead in the makeup.
Oh, okay.
And so he actually, in lead and mercury, so he went crazy. He absolutely lost his mind.
Is that why he left, or?
You know, we never really sorted it out, but that's what we think, because he jumped on a boxcar train one day, and one that wasn't moving. And for a few years, he just sat there. And we would go down, and we would say, Father, come on home. And then we'd just sit there, and then eventually that boxcar moved off.
It didn't move for years.
It didn't move for years, not the boxcar, no.
Wow.
But yeah, that
poor
that,
man.
That poor man and poor mother. Man. But I love my mother, hated my father, and that's kind of how it all started, isn't it?
Wow. So so you started in the early 60s with Robert Zimmerman, Robert Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan.
That's what the kids call him now. But back then, it was just little Bobby Zimmerman plucking tunes down there. You know, we had the Raccoon Jamboree was another band around that time. The Ramblin'.
Not as famous. A lot of Ramblin'.
Ramblin' Roving Generals, the Tin Cup Boys. All those guys were down there.
Were you part of any of those acts, or were you a solo act?
I was always a solo act, although I did play Tin Cup on two of the Tin Cup Boy tunes on that first EP.
You know, it seems like they would have had the Tin Cup part of it covered. But you needed to step in?
They were all guitar players.
Oh, really?
And they needed a Tin Cup. And so then they played. I played Tin Cup. And that is what became Clover in the Meadow. The Clover in the Meadow EP, which was one of the first EPs.
Oh, really? Okay.
One of the first extended play records.
Incredible.
Oh, did you? I heard recently it's actually short for Easy Peasy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, well, Easy Peasy is what Easy Peasy in my cup, Easy Peasy eat 'em up, and that's an old Woody Guthrie line about eating peas out of a cup.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, Woody Guthrie, of course.
Oh, one of the greats.
One of the great ramblers.
Hated his politics, loved his music.
Oh, what? Well, about the unionization?
Right. I've never been a union man. I think it's really a good time. I think especially with what's going on in Hollywood, I think it's a good time to really think about the other side and what they have to say.
So you're on the side of the producers and the money men.
I'm on the side of
billionaires side everywhere.
Of independence. I'm on the side of the independent man doing his own thing. And I've never believed in union stuff. No.
You don't join any groups.
I don't join any groups. That's why the Tin Cup Boys, I said, I'll play on this one track, fellas, but now I'll be on my way.
It's like Groucho. Groucho once said he wouldn't join any group that would have him as a member, and you just wouldn't join any group.
Exactly. Yeah, great guy, Groucho. He used to come down every now and then to the village when we were playing.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. Groucho in the audience watching Bob Dylan play the guitar.
It was amazing.
And him just with his cigar.
Oh, yes. And he would steal focus.
Really?
With a lot of his jokes, he would
he'd
steal
be
focus
his jokes
from Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
I would love to see a collabo between Man, just like Bobby D, as they used to call him, just singing a verse. And then, because Bob Dylan had funny songs too. I mean, Mike, you had funny songs.
He was my main inspiration.
Yeah, he had those songs where he would like, you listen to live recordings of him and he'd go, blah, 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 blah. And everyone goes, ha, ha, ha. Like it was the funniest joke they'd ever heard, even though they heard him do it on the record millions of times.
The talking blues, the walking, talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a natural entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, the last time I saw him, it was back to the audience the entire time, and I walked out about 15 minutes in.
Wow. Well, I think he died a few years ago, actually. Scott.
Oh, really? Is he a body double now?
Everybody's
just like
got
Melania.
A body double. And Biden. I've known Joe Biden since he was a kid. He used to come around to my shows. I used to feed him milk. He was the doorman for a while.
He loves trains.
Oh,
you
he
know?
Loves
so
trains.
You had a lot to talk about.
I'd feed him milkshakes, and I'd give him milkshakes in exchange for him polishing my dusty boots.
Wow. Well, this is, I mean, I've never heard of you, but you have an incredible CV, as they say.
Yes, I do. Yes, CV. I've also got an incredible CVS right behind my house. They've got everything. They've really got everything, Scott.
And it's not one of the mini ones, right?
Not the mini ones. No, 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 no.
24
no.
hour?
24 hour. Yeah. And, you know, it always seems like something bad has happened today. But I would say that I've purchased many items there, including, well, you know, did you know, and this was a more of a 60s thing, you could still get Quaaludes at some of these CVSs.
Really?
And, you can get them there, yeah. And peyote buttons.
Not anymore, though.
Not
right?
anymore.
Peyote but, buttons?
Peyote buttons, yeah. That's how you take them.
I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, that's right. That's the dosage, right?
That's
it's all.
Well, the button is off right off the cactus.
Yeah, that's right.
And the cactus looks like a little boy in a vest.
That makes sense.
Did you ever mistake a cactus or a cacti for a little boy in a vest and go up and hug him?
Well, did you ever hear my tune, Little Boy in a Vest?
No, I haven't heard that one.
That's a little boy in a vest, turned out to be cactus, little boy in a vest, areolas one night, little boy in a
did
vest.
Did you say areolas one night?
Areolas one night. That's what when I hugged it, went right into...
Your areolas one night. Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's inspiration behind that tune.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Wow, what an incredible career.
Thank you, Scott. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be with music fans and other musicians.
Well, you know, Mike is a music. First, he started playing a vegetable box with a stick.
Well, that's how we started too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I well, when I first picked up the guitar, I was playing with a piece of horsehair on a corn cob.
Yeah.
And my father, and then we realized.
But you later, had a guitar because you picked it up.
I picked up the guitar, then I played the corn cob. And what we realized, Scott, is that was my father when we first realized he had lost his mind. He thought the corn cob was the guitar.
And vice versa?
And vice versa.
Wow.
Right.
Nutty guy.
Poor man.
Wow.
All from that makeup. Mercury makeup.
Yeah, incredible. Makeup. Never did he, but he made it to New York City?
He made it to New York City by hook or by crook, and they took his dead body off the top of that boxcar.
Oh, he was on top of it the entire time.
Yes.
So when you say he hopped onto the train.
He hopped on.
On the roof.
He hopped onto the roof, sat there 2 years, then eventually made it to New York, and his dead body was on top of that boxcar, and he never really made it in New York, if you know what I mean. He made it to New York. Didn't make it.
I think I know what you mean. He was dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, Glenn, this is an incredible story. I've not heard of you, but I see you brought a guitar here. Do you want to pick that up?
Oh, sure, yeah. Scott. Yeah, this is not a corn cob and a horsehair string. This is a 1932 Jefferson Davis high action guitar.
Jefferson Davis.
Yeah, he made guitars.
Really?
It was his grandson, actually.
Interesting guy.
Grandson and. Let's see, Abraham Lincoln, sitting by the fireside, what could he be thinking? He's thinking about the Civil War and why it just ain't right. And that's what he was crying about, for he killed his wife that night.
Wow.
So that's Abraham Lincoln. That was just what
Either it's historically inaccurate or I haven't heard these stories.
Well, you know, there's a lot of violence, isn't there, in folk music?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. You said violence or violins?
Violins.
Because both are probably true.
Well, there's a lot of violent violins, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of violence in folk music, but
there's
that's our tradition.
Irish again.
And that's where we come from, isn't it, Scott? That's all just...
Everyone's from Ireland.
Everyone's from Ireland eventually, and the music comes from there.
The original Eden, I think, was in Ireland, from what I understand.
Original Eden. That's also an old folk tune.
Oh, I'd love to hear.
Original Eden. Here we go. One, two... I took her on the mountain, there I took her life. Took her on the mountain and I stabbed her with a knife. Original Eden, why'd you have to original see them? Original sin, original Eden, stabbed her with a knife and that's what I was thinking. Abraham Lincoln.
Huh, so that one just sort of runs out of steam, but then I noticed this, that it mentions Abraham Lincoln again.
Well, I've always been a big fan of Abraham Lincoln.
Honest Abe, they call him.
Honest Abe, and I thought he was one of our great American heroes, and, you know, he wouldn't like the Union either.
Mm. Now,
yeah, I don't know.
He liked
it.
The unions, but we're
like
the
union.
You know what? Oh, that's what I'm sorry.
My understanding, the original Eden, is that not the Eden of the Bible?
Well, the original Eden was the Eden of the Bible.
Okay.
And so when we, but, and then, you know, Scott kind of threw that thing in there about maybe the original Eden was in Ireland.
Yes, that's right.
And I believe that with all my heart and soul, because that's really where the music comes from.
This thing that I said.
Yes, this thing.
You believe it with all your heart and soul.
But here's the thing.
Had you ever thought about it before I said
Never, not once. And actually, in fact, that song right there, that was off the dome, as the kids said. But the themes are recurrent.
Does every song involve someone dying?
Every song of my catalog involves someone dying, usually getting stabbed with a knife or, being thrown down a well.
Have you seen a lot of people die? Is that coming from real life?
The only time I've seen someone die is when they pulled my father off the top of that boxcar and he was dry as a bone.
Really? So you went out to New York to see this?
We took the whole family out.
Did you guys drive?
Well, did you see the picture, Scott? Here it is. That's the six of us lined up in front of my father.
Oh, my goodness.
Taking him off the box to our front page of the New York Gazetteer.
Wow. Where were you in the line of kids? Were you oldest, youngest?
Oldest, second oldest to the youngest.
So you were in the middle.
Yes, I was the middle child, smack dab in the middle.
Right. Wow. So you've seen a lot of tragedy in your life, or at least that one.
And that's what has to, you got to put it into the music, Scott.
Yeah.
You don't get hung up on these things. You got to tell the story. And that's why I ended up picking up the guitar and telling the story, because I thought a lot of young people could relate, and they have.
So do you have young fans, really? Because I've never heard of you, but maybe I'm too old.
My last fan just died. And that was sad. But I had, back in the day, I had a lot of fans, and that's why.
What happened to your last fan?
My last fan also lost his mind, but just as a product of aging.
Oh, okay. So Alzheimer's,
right?
He was down.
That's why I'm out in California right now. I rambled out here. He was in a facility down in Orange County, and I sat with him as his milky eyes looked to the great beyond and peeped the spiritual realm. And then I shoved him. I shoved him right off.
You shoved him.
I pushed him in his wheelchair way into his room, and then I heard he died.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. You heard he died.
I heard he died, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So,
and that's how I wrote the Man on Wheels.
Let's hear it.
Man on wheels, man on wheels, wheeling around now, how does he feel? He doesn't feel good, 'cause he's dying. He is dying, and we're all crying, dying like Abraham, Abraham. He just died like Abraham, but not like Mary Todd. That's that was the Man on Wheels.
You seem obsessed with Abraham Lincoln.
He's one of the greats.
Well,
Scott.
That one could have been any Abraham.
It really could. That's true. And that's true. Mike, that could have been the Abraham of the Bible.
But then you mentioned Mary Todd.
Yeah. could have been
so
Mary Todd of the Bible.
From context clues.
One of Abraham's later wives, Mary Todd. Did you know that?
Really?
It was Abraham,
Sarah, Hagar.
Hagar, and then way down the line, Mary Todd. He had 12, you know.
He had 12.
Ooh. He had 12 wives.
That was almost like a little da-dum-dum on the guitar, but that was a mistake.
Thank you.
Well, you're an incredible talent, and you just wrote that right after your last fan died. I only wish that they could have been alive.
I know. Well, God rest his gentle soul. That one went out to Sergeant Barry Tomlinson. Of course, he served in two world wars and had been...
Oh, no. Which one? Number one and two?
They got him back for two? They got him back for two. They called
it
the Redux.
Was he drafted both times?
Drafted both times. Terrible. Stroke of luck. And
glitch?
Then, of course, he went on to serve in Korea and Vietnam as a volunteer.
Oh, no.
And then they stuck him in a nursing home down there in Orange County. God, you hate to see it, don't you?
God, was he upset that we haven't had a war since, obviously we've been in Afghanistan for a
while. Well, aren't we all?
In Afghanistan?
Well, aren't we all surprised that we haven't had a war in so long?
Yeah.
I mean, war keeps folk singers in business, Scott. So I've always been pro-war because when wars happen, folk songs happen.
Yeah, but people usually like listening to folk songs about how bad war is. How have you reconciled these things? Let's hear a song about war that you've sung.
Flowers on the grave of all the soldiers lost. I wish this war would go a little longer. Where could we go next? Maybe somewhere east, or maybe somewhere west. It doesn't matter. Oh, Abraham. Oh, Abraham. You had the best war of all.
Okay, you liked the Civil War.
Well, the Civil War, Scott, I thought was a really... That was a war where a lot of these songs came from.
Mm.
And, you know, when you have a war happening, you think, heck, I could write a million songs about that. And and I have. I've written songs about every war since I was born.
How many songs do you think you've written?
Oh, gosh. I've written... I think
we've heard four, probably.
We've heard four in about 7 minutes. So if we do the math, since I started writing, I'd say there's probably 15,000 songs.
Oh, and they're amazing.
All, yeah, thank you.
Okay, wow. Well, I understand you have one last song to take us out.
One last song to take us out.
To commercial?
To commercial. And Scott, this one goes out to all the folks down there in Orange County who have claimed that my beautiful Marianne, for some reason her disappearance has something to do with me. I would say it doesn't. And I
wait,
just,
the police are involved? The authorities are involved?
Do we call them police these days, Scott? I call them the bulls. They've always been against the folk scene. And
you like that about them?
Exactly. I liked it when the cops came through and beat us down a few times because it gave us something to sing about.
Right.
Gave us something to sing about.
Like, well, war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and sing this song. This is Glenn Paplinger. This is one of his newest tracks, and this goes out to all the people in Orange County who have accused him of his wife's murder.
Hey there, Detective Dan McPherson. I got nothing to do with Mary Ann's disappearance. I just met her, I just married her, I just found her in the ditch. That is where she ended up. I'm not talking cause I ain't no snitch. Oh, these policemen, policemen, leave me alone, I'm leaving tonight. On the top of a train, riding right away. I'll see you in New York City the next time that you catch me. That one needs some work, doesn't it, Scott? That one's really off.
Well,
the
there's no Abraham Lincoln mention at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have thrown that in there at the end.
I mean, yeah.
I'm like Honest Abe, never told a lie. Chop down a cherry tree just like my wife would die.
Yeah, so I mean, what I noticed is you've told the authorities exactly where to find her and how you murdered her.
You know, Scott, I can't stop the muse when the muse comes a-calling.
Please don't stop the muse. Just like Rihanna once said, but then she went on and said ick right afterwards.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you all.
Oh, no, you're wrapping up. Oh, okay. I thought I was supposed to do that. No, I will. I don't mean to leave you hanging out there. We do need to take a break. Glenn Plappinger.
Plappinger, yeah.
Plappinger, sorry. Yeah. We also have Mike Kaplan. When we come back, a critic will be here. This is a very tight-packed show.
Tight-packed.
Incredible. You can stick around?
I'll try it, as long as I don't see the blue lights on the horizon.
Okay, wonderful. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. You gotta admit, shopping for humans, it's so hard. But you know what? Shopping for your dog? Oh, that's easy thanks to Bark. Every month, Bark delivers toys and treats just for your pup. They deserve to be spoiled, don't they? Every month? Why not? At Bark, we send your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month, whether it's fun plush toys from BarkBox or ultra tough toys from Super Chewer, Bark gives your dog exactly what they want. And for a limited time, Bark will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/bangbang. That's BarkBox.com/bangbang. Now, we have been Bark subscribers for a long time, and we would get the boxes every month, and our dogs love them. In fact, they love them so much. The opening of the package, they would be jumping up on us. They love them so much that after a few months, any package that was delivered, they thought it was for them. And they would get very, very excited. We'd say, no, this was actually just a book that I ordered. It's very, very exciting when you give a BarkBox. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/bangbang for an exclusive offer. This ad is over now. Let's go back to petting our dogs.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. Mike Kaplan is here. Live from the Universe is his special out there. Approximately how long is this special?
It's about a half hour.
Hmm. Why not the full 60?
That's what they
asked. You know what I mean?
For this one, they just asked for a half hour.
Yeah, but why don't you just deliver it at 60?
Well, we did. They were the ones who recorded it.
You just be like, hey, here's another 60. Yeah, another 30 for the 60.
Do another one another time.
All right.
I got other things coming.
That's the thing. Why everyone puts out these hours. Put out half hours. That way you get paid twice.
It's true.
You fucking idiots. Don't like that. And Glenn Plappinger is here, of course. And you've been fielding calls furiously.
Yeah, my phone's blowing up, as the kids say. I guess this
what
is
are these
already
kids you keep talking about.
It's hit the airwaves, Scott. I think they're liking these tunes. And wow, the NFTs are flying out.
I don't think this comes out for a while, actually. On the day we're recording.
Oh, this isn't live.
No, it's not.
Oh, wow. Well, something spiked the records.
Who's been calling you on your phone?
Oh, these are actually sales of the new PFT, the new
PFT,
the Paul Fungible. Oh yeah,
yeah, okay. Plappinger Fungible Token.
Oh, yes, okay, that's wonderful. Right. Yeah, there may be a comedian that you need to talk to clear those initials, but
could be my agent, Monty Perviance. He also is one of those guys who's always trying to get me out there and never does.
Monty Perviance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to get to our next guest. She's a critic. Again, do not know what she's criticizing, but we'll talk to her about that. Please welcome Candle St. Louis.
Hi.
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 Hi. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, wonderful to have you. This is Mike.
Hi.
A pleasure.
A pleasure.
And Glenn.
How do you do?
Hello. I'm actually familiar with both of your works already.
Did you kiss her chin?
It was very wet. Way too wet.
Sorry, that's sometimes a little bit of the honey gets in my beard.
Are you out there searching through beehives? What is going on?
Well, something to keep the vocal cords nice and limber is milk and honey. Put it wonderful. In a jar, shake it up, and that's about all I eat. Oh,
wonderful. All right. Well, Candle. Interesting name. Candle.
Oh, thank you.
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Were you named after where you were born, or what was lighting the room?
No, I was one of those. I had those parents that let you pick your own name.
Oh, okay.
And on my first birthday, I saw a candle, and so I named myself Candle.
Oh, really? Was it the candle in your birthday cake?
No.
Oh, it was a different candle.
Different candle, yes.
What was special about this candle?
I don't know. It was just on the table. It was lit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, is that unsafe?
Was it in a candle holder?
No.
Candelabra?
It was a candelabra.
Why didn't
you
name yourself Candelabra?
Huh. Good note. Good critique, if you will.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I mean, this is your game. You are a critic.
Yes, thank you.
So you know good criticism when you hear it. What exactly do you criticize? Are you a writer, a critic? Are you?
Yes. Well, I'm the world's first and only one-word critic. So I just review everything in one word. I started with
critic.
Movies.
I've never heard of this before, but I guess if you're paid by the word, this is a terrible job to have.
Yeah. No, but paid very handsomely, but just the one word. I started with movies, and then I moved on to sort of like whatever.
How much money do you make?
Like $750,000 a year.
A year?
My word.
My word.
Yeah. Well, it's just really popular. So.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, is it art, or what do you criticize?
Well, like movies, arts, people. Music.
Oh, hopefully music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said you've heard our work?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Oh, okay. And when you criticize people, what word do you normally use?
Well, it depends on the person.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
There's so many words.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Do you own a dictionary and you just like, put it open to a page and just point down at one thing? And that's
my thesaurus turns to like dust basically every year. I use it so much.
Wow. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Do you recycle the dust or
no?
Is it just around your house?
Just around my house.
Sweep it out, put it in the ash can.
Yeah, sometimes, but mostly just there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, can we hear one of these reviews possibly?
Right. I'm famous for my review of Titanic.
Oh, okay.
My one word review was boat.
I guess did you ever see the movie Titanic?
I have seen Titanic.
It's the one where obviously Our good friend Brock Lovett is in it.
Yep, of course.
Or what's his name? Bill plays him.
Yes.
A fictionalized version of him in it.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about, obviously, when I say all that.
100%.
And Boat is your review?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Went down the year that I was born.
You know?
1913. 1913 is when you were born.
I think this is, it's a very subversive review because I...
So your dad left when you were pretty old. Pretty.
No need to rehash the math, Scott. It was more of a story. Less
You're
of
110
a...
years
old. I performed on a cruise ship twice in my life.
Oh.
And I would call it a boat. And sometimes they'd be like, it's not a boat.
It's a ship.
It's
right?
a ship.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Or a watercraft.
In Titanic. Exactly. A space water.
Yeah.
An avatar. And, but you're saying boat, the word boat, mm-hmm. when the... In Titanic.
They would call it a ship in yeah.
But boat.
I thought it pretty much summed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you say you're famous for that one?
Yes, famous. And that's what got me the job at The New Yorker.
You're the critic for The New Yorker?
Yeah, the one word critic for The New Yorker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do they put a lot of other words around it so it's not just a big empty page or is it?
No, it's expensive. So it's just like the one word. It has my like little photo with my name and then it's my one word review.
Right. Mm-hmm. Huh. Boat and mm-hmm. that and people liked that
yeah or? They did. I mean, I was a very successful high school bully. That's how I sort of knew I'd be able to
do that. How does one become a success at that? Is that in quantity or quality of the bullying?
Both. It's sort of the measure is how many teachers you get to quit.
So you were bullying the teachers?
Both, yeah. Students, teachers, oh, anyone.
Okay. Anyone who came across your path.
Boat. Yes. Yeah.
Boat. Boat. Exactly, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and how many teachers quit under your purview?
About 40.
40 mm-hmm. teachers over the course of your higher education?
Yes.
Or
mm-hmm.
And lower, I would imagine.
Exactly.
It's like 10 a year.
Yes.
Like one a month.
Yeah, exactly.
One a month, really.
Yeah, I went up when I was a freshman. There was a teacher and he gave me a B and I called him, I called him invisible. And then he never came back.
So your critiques and bullying of your teachers were one word as well?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the real scourge of the yearbook.
And you called him invisible.
Yes. And then he sort of had this vacant look in his face. And I knew I had said just the right word.
Are you sure you're not magic and you say one word and they become that?
You're an oracle.
Did he just disappear?
Yeah.
I've never even thought about that. Maybe. Huh.
Because maybe the movie Titanic didn't exist and it wasn't about a boat sinking until you said the word boat.
Huh. That's really trippy. I'm super high right now, so that's sort of a lot.
Why did you get high before this show?
It might have been about...
it's a podcast.
Let's make it funny.
Nathan Fielder and Jeselnik and Eugene Mirman, the Titanic of comedy.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you were successful at bullying people with one word, and that translated into your job now.
Exactly, yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What are some of your other reviews, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I reviewed Citizen Kane, and I said Rosebud. I've reviewed several of your albums, so it's so nice to see you in person.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's I never read reviews is what I always say, but I would love to hear one of the words.
You listen to them.
I listen to them on record.
I saw one. I think one was Knife.
Knife, yep. Mm-hmm. Knife is, that makes sense. That checks out.
We at The New Yorker are trying to figure out if you're a murderer, a ghost, or both.
Well, I've been reading The New Yorker since 1942 when Pinky Lowenstein used to run the reviews and she would come down there and, come down in there into the village and give reviews of it. Really,
you were
good
30
reviews.
Years old. There's this woman named after the most racist finger.
And also,
it was a different time, Scott.
If I remember correctly, the magazine used to be called the New Amsterdammer.
Is that right? Exactly. That's back in the old days when the reviews were long and the substance mm-hmm. was little. And I have a feeling you've turned that on its head.
Oh, thank you. That's
People
so nice.
Don't have a lot of time to read reviews now. So I've noticed that it's not even like you're reviewing or criticizing them as much as you're encapsulating them.
Well, sort of, but some of them have like a spin or an opinion
like
to
what?
Them. Like Sticky or...
What is that the review of?
That was a review of The Departed.
Okay.
Interesting. Sticky.
Because when I went to go see it in theaters, the floor was like a little sticky.
Oh, so you're reviewing your own experience.
Yes, but that's my experience. I'm like the common man. Like my experience is the experience, of course.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Love the common man.
Mm-hmm.
One singular man.
You mean the man.
Right.
You love the man.
The common man. The one man. Big right. man at the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people like people like these. You're famous for them, so yes. People like these.
Well, people's attention span is so short these days. People
What'd
don't
you say? That's a joke.
Okay, well, now you're going to get a better review from me than...
Oh, wait, you're reviewing me?
Yes, of course. I'm going to review this experience at the end in one
now
word.
I'm nervous.
No, you're doing great. This is going to be great.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think it would be if you had to review it right now?
Sticky.
I'm sorry, is the floor sticky?
Yeah,
or?
Just a little bit sticky. So that's what I'm going
Have
with.
Have you ever thought that maybe your shoes are sticky from this movie you went to and you've just never cleaned them off?
I'm also a little bit high right now, so that's sort of hard to handle. I had a button of drugs
peyote?
Earlier.
A button of drugs?
Yeah.
Don't hug a cactus. Could be from my sticky sticky little jar of milk and honey here that I put on the floor right by your chair. Sorry about that.
No, okay.
I thought this was going to be awkward because I've never reviewed one of your albums favorably, but it's good
I'm
to,
sorry
yeah.
to hear it.
Yeah. Like one, I said Abraham Lincoln for one of the words.
Well, that's
knife.
Two words.
Well, is it though if you don't put a space between them?
It's a good question.
That's a good point.
More of a handle.
I can offer briefly
like
that
a hashtag.
I went to school for linguistics.
Oh, really?
And I took a class called morphology, which is essentially the study
Is that about that incredible technique that James Cameron invented for movies like The Abyss and Terminator 2, Rise of the Machines?
It's exactly that.
The morphing technology used in Michael Jackson's black or white video.
That's correct.
I almost said black and white, but that was the joke people made about him was he was both.
But the song was...
Was black
It doesn't matter
white.
If you're...
That's right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're black and white. Also works.
If I were him, I would have stayed away from the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he was not one to shy away from controversy, was he?
But you are one to shy away from controversy.
I hate if you're triggered out there with me talking about this kind of stuff, but that's just my comedy. But well, let's get back to Candle St. Louis.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Have you cleaned off your shoes? I noticed you took a rag to them.
Yeah, I'm getting higher by the minute, too. Really panicking over here.
Well, why are you getting higher?
I don't know. You know,
are you ingesting more and more buttons of drugs?
Yeah, sometimes? I thought that would help.
It happens over the course of time. You don't know. It just continues to release in your system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Is there anything we can do to calm you, to soothe you?
I stop spinning, I think.
I don't think that's me doing it, but maybe I could spin counterclockwise and that way it would even itself out. Well, let me try it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I go the wrong way?
Yeah, sorry.
Let me go the other way. I'll go clockwise.
Terrible. Sorry.
Okay. Now you're really sticky.
Yes. Sticky. Feeling sticky. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So you are high as a kite right now.
Yeah.
Which on a windy day, that can get pretty high.
Yes. Am I a kite? No. I'm a human woman. Never
you're
mind. Sorry.
Yeah, we need to talk her down.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Since you said Abraham Lincoln, which I do think it can be one word,
right.
Regardless of whether you put a space
morphology.
In it or not. Yes. So the question of like cranberry is a word made of two morphemes, cran and
right.
berry.
Is it a compound? No, that's not
true. No, sometimes a compound word is usually where there's two words that are words by themselves.
Yeah.
And then they come
like
together.
Bendable.
Yeah. I don't know if that's also.
I mean, it's two words.
That's
you got to admit.
Bend
able
and
bend.
Able. You're absolutely right. But yeah, so I guess my question is, what's the longest word that has been one word that you've maybe taken spaces out and put them all together?
Yeah, what's the longest?
Yes, it was pages and pages.
Those three words? Mm-hmm.
Pages and pages. That's not even as long as Abraham Lincoln.
No, but it is three words combined into one.
It's a good point. Right. I mean, it's longer in that sense.
My first review of Comedy Bang Bang, I had a lot to say. So
oh,
I
you've reviewed it before?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen
it. I check in every couple years. Do a new review. Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot of years.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, mm-hmm. so seven times or so? Mm-hmm. Was that?
Yeah, okay. One was just PFT, so not even a full word.
Okay, yeah, for a Plappinger fungible token.
Yeah. Yeah, one was just Scott, one was Rambling, one was Knife, one was Sticky. You
Thumbs
sticky
yes,
a lot.
Perhaps.
Thumbs.
Yeah.
Right, Rambling, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I that's very flattering to know that you've been checking in on it.
Oh, yes, of course.
So now you're on the other side. You are now a guest,
mm-hmm.
and you have a conflict of interest, I think, now. You probably can't review this particular episode.
I just might.
Okay, so you don't care about conflicts of interest.
No. I really, what is it called? Integrity? Journalistic integrity. I don't like subscribe to that way of thinking.
That would be incredible if someone's in a play and also
reviewed
is the reviewer.
Very same play.
Yeah.
Mm. That, see, this is Broadway shows should just cast reviewers in their shows, and then they get the best reviews ever and they're massive hits.
I mean,
and cast Tony Award voters.
Yes.
See, this is the most successful Broadway show of all time. If there are any Broadway producers out there listening, and I know there's at least one, this is the pathway.
And pathway.
Yeah. And pathway. No, but that's a compound word.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But I think also...
I'm sorry to scream pathway right in your face, and you have no idea what I'm saying.
I liked it a lot.
Pathway!
I like it even more now. And it's like when a director is also an actor in the movie, and the director is directing themselves. So it would be just like that. A reviewer reviewing themselves, I think, is no different.
I've never seen a director direct themselves in a movie and... been hard on themselves, like, you, god damn it, and like doing 116 takes.
Come
like
on,
a Fincher.
Come on, you can't get it this right. What are you doing?
Yeah,
Scott, you said something that is accidentally very offensive to critics, which is that we're jealous that the subjects that we're criticizing are making something, and we're just complaining about the thing.
I don't think I
making.
Said anything of the sort. But it sounds like that's hitting
a nerve.
No, I
think you said that literally.
It sounds familiar.
And I just wanted to say, like, I tried to be famous in my own right. Like, yes, I tried.
How did you try to be famous? Because from what I recall, your pathway to success was starting out as a bully and then you became a critic.
Yes. Well, I also just simultaneously, I wanted to be like an artist. I wanted to be a singer and dancer. I wanted to be famous. But then
his dad was a choreographer.
Right. Small town, never going to make it to the big city of New York.
We made it there.
Well, he did make it.
Never consciously.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And that's a good comment on the U.S. rail system.
Yep, that's right.
What was I saying?
You were saying that you tried to be an artist yourself.
Yes, but that was boring and stupid and dumb. So I didn't fail it. I just was bored. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was boring. So now I'm a critic.
Have you ever, you've heard the expression, physician heal thyself. I would like to make it analogous to your profession and say, critic, criticize thyself.
Huh.
Why don't you do one of your one-word criticisms of your own criticism?
Or even critique.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. So am I critiquing myself or critiquing the critique that I'm about to critique?
I'll take both.
Abraham Lincoln.
I like it.
Your eyes lit up.
He's reaching
for
his guitar.
I think I see dollar signs in your eyes instead of pupils.
Heck of a critique. That's the old, you know, it did remind me when you said you were a linguist. Is that right?
That's right.
You ever heard of Noam Chomsky?
I have heard.
That guy's a bastard, but he was a young kid kicking around the village when I started first singing. And he's a linguist, isn't he?
He was like the original linguist.
He was the OG linguist.
Yeah, he was like what Freud was to psychology, Chomsky was to linguistics.
No one had ever thought about words before.
Not a bit.
And I wonder what old Noam Chomsky would say about that review. Abraham Lincoln, that's a good one, because I bet he would say he likes it.
It could be you, and you know him the most.
I do. I know him as a kid.
You used to hang out with as a kid? He was a kid.
He was a doorman.
You were about 60 years old?
With Joe Biden. He and Joe Biden used to kick it around the village, and you know.
Did people make fun of him because his name sounds like eating? It's like nom, 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 chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, come on, hey man, look, you're making me hungry anytime I hear from you.
Exactly. And then that's why he got into linguistics, I believe, to say, like, that's not what these words mean at all.
Yeah, it actually is a name.
Yeah.
And I'm a famous guy now.
Name Chomsky, yeah.
Exactly. And then we're like, okay, we need to go back to linguist school.
Yes, exactly. Quick thing also, earlier you just reminded me, when I was doing this workshop for these 7 to 12-year-olds, one of them asked me the question, how long does it take to become a famous? Yeah.
And how long did it take you, by the way, Mike? Because you mentioned winning this competition in 2006. Then I noticed 5 years later, you're on Comedy Bang Bang.
I think it took 5 years.
Okay. Good.
Took me a lot longer than that, didn't it?
Well, you didn't even get started in your 50s.
Right. And here I am. So 60s. Nigh on decades before I got here.
You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just milk and honey. That's all I eat.
I think you should have stuck with the Tin Cup Boys. I love their album.
Really? Are they still coming out with stuff? I haven't checked in with them for a few years.
They're amazing. They're rich.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Their cup is not tin anymore.
It's golden.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they change their name?
Yeah.
Was golden your review?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The golden cup full of Doubloons Boys? Yeah.
What do they go by now? Is it still Tin Cup Boys, or did they change their name?
That's the question I just asked.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Well, I'm hosting now.
It's like...
First you want to take us to break, and now you're hosting?
That's right, Scott.
This is my podcast.
I'm sorry, I've never done a podcast before, so I thought, why not drive the train, just like my father did, all the way to New York.
He didn't necessarily drive it, unless
sounds
he was pretending
to. Sounds like
he
sat on top of a boxcar for a couple of
Well, years. I think the fellows on top of that train sat him right up, and sometimes they thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny if he was driving, but of course
he was turning an imaginary invisible wheel and sort of honking an invisible horn?
How do you spend
trip?
The time on the way all the way from Ohio to New York, Scott? You got to do bits. You got to do gags. And yeah. They would prop my father up on an old barrel and say, he's driving the train.
Did he have a bindle?
He did have a bindle. He had a bindle full of dance belts.
That one for every day of the week.
That's delightful. Does a train have a wheel? Is there a wheel like in a car?
Who knows?
Ooh, too high for that.
Does the train have a wheel? I did have a song about that. Does the train have a wheel? Who's driving this train? Does the train have a wheel?
Does the train have a wheel? What are you trying to ask, Mike?
Does it have a steering wheel?
Oh, a steering... Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant wheels. Like, of course they have wheels.
No. Like, steering the train. Does the person who does that have a wheel?
I don't know. I know he's got a big shovel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's constantly feeding coal into the fire.
He's got a big whistle as well.
Yeah, around his neck.
Little hat.
He's the one who makes that, referee, that noise.
Yeah.
The referee is driving the train.
Train conductors and referees are very similar. They all have striped hats.
Mm-hmm.
They should just, maybe they do the same thing on their off hours. You know what I mean?
They all take Why tickets. Not? They all call fouls.
Mm-hmm. Foul on the train.
That's when
foul.
You know.
You can't do that. Don't sit there. Put your suitcase up above.
Foul.
Foul.
You didn't bring a ticket. Yeah.
You didn't bring a ticket. Foul.
Well, I gotta say, Kendall, you're a very interesting person, and I hope you give me a good review.
Interesting.
Is that the review?
Person. No, I'm just saying, like, if you had to give a one-word critique of me, what would it be? And be honest.
High.
Definitely. Very, very high.
Whoa.
Petulant? Naive? I don't know.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd say knife.
Touché.
By the way... All those milk and honey jars, I see like a little bit of metallic just sheen underneath it. Did you bring a knife to this podcast?
Well, the metallic sheen is I dose a little bit of mercury and a little bit of lead.
Well, that's what killed your father.
But it also what kept him interesting, Scott.
Yeah, okay. He was an interesting guy. I give him that.
That's right.
Traveled to New York City by just sitting on top of a train car with a bindle full of 7 dance belts, one for every day of the week.
That's right. And so you can't write a folk song if you don't have some interesting tales to tell, and that's why I put a little bit of mercury, not enough to kill me, just enough to keep my head nice and loose.
That's a good point. That's
and
a
my
good point.
Skin a beautiful blue tone.
You do, I didn't want to say this, but speaking of James Cameron, you look a lot like the Avatar people. What do you call them? The Na'vi?
Yeah.
Sure. I've never seen a movie. I had the last movie
You've never
I saw,
seen a movie?
Never seen a talkie. The last movie I saw with words in it must have been, Casablanca or something like that.
Oh, okay. You don't like talkies? Did you see The Jazz Singer? And you were like, not for me.
That's right.
Although I'm sure you liked the guy in blackface.
Were you there when they showed the movie of the train and everyone ran screaming?
Which movie was that?
You know, the one where it's first like coming
one?
Towards, yeah,
yeah. Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the first movie.
Were you the guy who started screaming because that's what killed your dad?
We called that movie Scream.
Interesting. Because of your reaction to
right.
it?
Right. That's right. Everybody went screaming right out of the theater. So you said Scream. We didn't call it the train movie.
So would you call movies just based on the audience reaction? So this one was laugh.
Laugh, scream, sad.
That's sort of like what I do.
You were the first one-word reviewer.
Well, how do you like that?
No, it's me.
That's a tale to tell.
You're getting defensive. Defensive is maybe the word.
That could be because I took her job, or that could be because that little pile of cocaine she's got there.
I'm very protective of my things.
Buttons of cocaine.
You get out of here.
Buttons of cocaine. Another great tune by the Tin Cup Boys.
That's an interesting group. Next time we should get them on the show.
Really should, Scott. Yeah. We really should.
Well, look, we are running out of time. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but we only have time for one final feature on the show, and that is, of course, a little something called plugs.
Who are these people, and why are they here? If we listen really close, an answer may appear. Open up, let the plugs burst forth, open up.
The views and opinions expressed in this plugs theme are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Comedy Bang Bang.
Okay, that was Closing the Plug Bag by Lot Haha. Okay.
That was fun.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. All right, guys, what are we plugging? Mike, obviously we have your special Live from the Universe.
Yes.
And people can download this Dry Bar Comedy app.
Yeah. And
will
if
this
you,
be the
yeah.
only time they ever use it? Will they watch your thing and then you throw it away?
It could be. I recommend.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's been around for some years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And you can use the promo code on their website, drybarcomedy.com. The promo code, Mike Kaplan, spelled my weird way, MYQKAPLAN, Mike Kaplan. And that will get you a free month.
Okay. And do you think it'll take a month to watch your special?
I don't. If you watch it like a minute a day, you should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and that's how I recommend doing it. And yeah. And then I do have my newest albums that are available where albums are called AKA. That's what I was last on
that's
promoting
right.
when I was here. And I more recently released a previous album more widely. It's very confusing. Don't try to get into it. But it's called Live In Between Albums. That is an album that I released.
In Between. Live yeah. In Between Albums.
Live In Between Albums.
Okay.
I recorded it in between two other albums, and so I put it out and called it that.
And your book, Heart Brain Art Train.
Yes.
Sorry to say the word train around you.
Oh, it's okay. It's a vehicle and an implement of death.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is available. Go to my website and my social media, which is all at Mike Kaplan. And I think the best way to get things from me, if you want them, is my Substack newsletter, which is MikeKaplan.substack.
You are really diversifying out
.com.
There. I'd love to see your revenue streams.
Oh, sure.
Incredible. All right. Kendall St. Louis, what are we plugging here?
I have two podcasts to plug, Sitcom D&D and Hey Riddle Riddle. So check those out wherever you find podcasts.
Hey Riddle Riddle is a fun name.
Yeah, thank you. Like the children's poem.
What's the theme of the podcast?
Riddles.
That makes sense.
It's a great podcast.
Oh, really? You're a podcast.
I love
you've
podcasts.
Never done a podcast.
I've never done a podcast. Love to listen. Never seen a movie since Scream 1.
So you went entertainmentless
for years.
For decades.
Just songs. Just songs.
Just songs, but hey, music is your life. And speaking of your life, Glenn Paplinger, what are you plugging?
Well, Scott, I'd like to plug Mega, the podcast, and a new little mini-series they're doing over there called The Rise and Fall of Twin Hills, which is a sort of hybrid improvised true crime documentary that's taking place in the world of the podcast.
Wow.
Kind of an interesting thing.
Okay. Mega, I believe that I was on that show.
You did guest on that show as an intimacy coordinator for the nativity pageant, a real classic move. really fun. So yeah, we would
where do people get it? It's Mega.
You can Mega on any of the things that you listen to. Mm-hmm. megathepodcast.com, and it's called Rise and Fall of Twin Hills. It's episode 3 just came out.
Okay. Incredible. And I want to plug, of course, Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the book is still out there, and it's a perfect opportunity to get it. I don't know why this makes it so perfect.
Good review.
But
book.
You can get it, you can get all the links to buying it over at cbbworld.com/book. And while you're at CBB World, you can get wonderful shows over there, shows like CBB Presents, where we have shows like Hey Randy with Randy Snuts, and This Book Changed My Life with Lily Sullivan, as well as Who Me, starring the Batman with the Batman. And we just did Hines, I'm Prov to Meet You, where Will Hines teaches guests from this show improv. So many great shows over there, plus Scott Hasn't Seen. College Town, ad-free episodes of this show, as well as all the archives. All right, let's close up the old plug bag.
At least we got Oh No in there.
A second year of Oh No.
Oh, doors are made for closing. So we take them up and shut them tight. Then doors are made for locking. So we
all right, that was Plug It On by King Love Duck Electricity. Thank you so much. If you have a closing or opening plug bag theme, head over to cbbworld.com/plugs. And guys, I want to thank you so much, Mike. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for returning for this sequel to your seminal episode.
Oh, yeah.
And
really sorry about my laugh.
No need to apologize, my good fellow. I hope I have not ruined your life.
No, I think my life is mainly making other people laugh. So this is, you know, it's fine for my laugh to not.
You ever hear that Pagliacci joke where it's like a guy goes to the doctor and goes like, hey, doc, I'm feeling sad. And the doctor goes, get the fuck out of here, Pagliacci.
I haven't heard it that way, but it's sort of like the Aristocrats.
Yeah, it's
sort of
like that where you can tell it however you want.
In fact, on my album, AKA, there is a reference to that. I have a joke about that joke.
And little Easter egg for the Pagliacci heads out there.
That's right, the Pog heads.
I want to thank you, Candle St. Louis. How are you doing? You're sweating so much.
I'm
right
coming
now.
Down hard.
Oh shit!
Like a kid landing on cement.
No! Is this going to affect your review?
Yeah. Feels like it. I'd say the show is good.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good review.
Yeah.
It's a good review. Good is the enemy of great, of course. But and then Glenn Papplinger.
Thanks so much for being here, Scott.
Stop hosting. I see you picking up your guitar, though. Are you, a song to take us out? Is that what you're...
Yes, I do, Scott. Well, is there something that you wanted to hear since you're a fan, of course? Was there any sort of topic you wanted to cover or just hit the
I'd love to hear about your mother. She was a makeup artist, of course.
Yes, and, makeup artist.
How do you even play it? It's so sticky from all the
it
honey.
It is sticky. Yeah. I've got honey. Well, the mercury cuts through the honey so that it... Let's see, a song about my mother.
A song about your mother, yes.
The makeup artist.
This mother, is Glenn Papplinger.
Here we go. Let's take it out. Mother, you used to paint the faces of the dead. All those pretty corpses down at the city morgue. And one day they said, there's one more face to paint, they said. It's your darling husband, they found him on the train. Paint the faces of the dead, the faces of the dead. It's your darling baby boy, you paint the faces of the dead. There's 13 more verses, Scott, but I'm afraid I don't have time. I see the blue lights flashing over here.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry. The cops are here. I called them. I hope that's all right.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much
for
being on the show.
By the way, when you said she did his makeup, I didn't know that it was after he was dead for the...
for the funeral.
For the funeral. Okay, we'll see you next time. Thanks, bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I made a charcoal mess! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.